Good morning, family. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's joining the call this morning? Good morning. Good morning. It is a thankful, triumphant Thursday. Who's
good
joining
morning,
the call?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thursday. God bless everyone on the call. Hey, hey.
Good morning, Sister Lisa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for Thursday to all. This is Sister Yvonne.
Good morning,
Leo. Have a great day, everyone.
Good morning, Mama. You have a great one, too. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's joining the call? If we can place our phones on mute once we've said good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. I'm Rochelle, your hostess. Who's joined the call this morning and would like to say good morning? Come on in the room. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Who's joined the call?
Happy Thursday. This is Sister Yvonne. I'm not sure if you guys heard me, but thanks for Thursday to all. Have a blessed day.
I said good morning to you, Miss Yvonne. Could you hear me?
Oh, okay. I missed it. Hey, my sister, be blessed.
Yes. Blessings. Have a great day. Once you said good morning, if you can place your phones on mute. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Who's joined the call? For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Cat Hart. Good morning, Rochelle and Declare Victory family. Good morning.
Good morning, Cat. What it do? It's Thursday. Another day to get it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, let's do it. Marketplace, here we come. Who else is out there? Want to say good morning.
Good morning. It's pretty. Good morning, Declare Victory.
Good morning, pretty beautiful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Happy Favorite Friday.
Oh, it's Thursday, but we're getting there.
Is it Thursday?
Look, I'm mentally there, too. I hear you.
Happy Thankful Thursday.
Yes.
I should have known. Ain't no men on that call. All right, I'm woke now. That was good.
Have an awesome day, sis.
Love you, sis.
Love you more. Yes, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. This is Rochelle, your hostess. Who's joining the call and would like to say good morning? Give God
the
glory.
Give him the glory for this day. Good morning. Thank you, Pretty Patrice. I needed that chuckle. Good morning, family. Dimitriana or Didi or just, you know, the child of God. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, Dimitriana, Didi. Love you, sis. Have an awesome day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. It's Grateful Deborah Evans. Happy Faithful Thursday. Did I get it right?
It's a Faithful Thursday. Yes, yeah, a Thankful Thursday. Faithful Thursday, yes.
Grateful Thursday. You know what I'm trying to say. God bless you all.
Y'all getting that fun. Come on, you can see it. Good morning, everyone. Who else has joined the call? Would like to say good morning. If
good
we
morning,
can.
This is Marcia.
Hey, sis. Good morning, Marcia. I love you,
morning.
Sis.
Love you too.
Yes, good morning. Who else has joined the call? If you've joined the call and you said good morning, even if you choose not to say good morning right now, if you can place your phones on mute just so we can protect the integrity of the call and there is no background, we welcome you. Good morning. For the Lord is our shield and buckler. He covers us and keeps us. New mercies today and unmerited favor, his grace. Who else is joining the call and would like to say good morning?
Morning, Sheldon.
Hi, my name
This is Shina Tashina.
Hey, Shina Tashina. Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Triumphant Thursday. Or is it Triumphant Tuesday? What is it?
It is Triumphant Thursday, too, because we triumph eight days a week. Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Testosterone.
My name is Brother Daniel.
Well, good morning, Brother Daniel. Welcome to Breakfast of Champions.
Thank you.
Yes,
good morning,
who invited
Brother
you to the call?
Daniel.
Oh, woo-hoo. Never mind.
Welcome.
All right. Thank you for coming, Brother Daniel. Stay tuned. Stay on. Lend an ear.
Yes.
Prepare your heart to receive for today.
Yes.
All right. Anyone else has joined the call before we go ahead and get started and give us some information and move on to the bread where the to breakfast where the table was spread? Who else has joined the call and would like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Sister Kathy.
Well, good morning, Sister Kathy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, welcome. Is this your first time calling?
I think I did it like a long time ago, and then I forgot about it, and someone gave me the number yesterday. So I'm calling again for the first time.
See, we ain't going to leave you out. He's going to count you in. This is the place to be. Good morning again.
Thank you.
Hey, Kevin, good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yes, we up in the room today.
Good morning, Declare Victory. I think I heard my brother Daniel on the line this morning. Good to hear your sound this morning, Daniel.
Yes. Wonderful.
Good morning, Sarge.
Good morning.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. If we can all look down at our phones, place them on mute so we can hear the information that's going forward. We can have some order and be respectful of the call. Let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, family. Happy, thankful, triumphant Thursday. This is Declare Victory, and I am your host, Resilient Restore Rochelle. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Be sure to continue calling in during the month of April, where our monthly theme is entitled The Power of Agreement. Each declare will focus on being the effectiveness of the power of agreement with the truth of God's word and its benefits and to advancing the kingdom of God. Can someone place their phone on mute? Make sure you invite a friend so that they can be blessed too. There is one announcement today. Ladies, please join us tonight and every Thursday night for a Walk It Out Women's Call hosted by Ms. Lisa Porter. We are studying the book, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. The call takes place from 6 to 7 Pacific Standard, 8 to 9 Central Standard, and 9 to 10 Eastern Standard. Right here by dialing the same number tonight. There were no spoken prayer requests. There were none submitted by the app.
But we want to keep praying for one another. We want to pray for our brother Jonathan, for his healing, and for strength in his body. The order of the call, prayer and corporate praise, will be brought to you by Dee Dee. The declaration will be brought to you by Tanya. I'll repeat the order of the call. Prayer and corporate praise will be brought to you by Dee Dee. The declaration will be brought to you by Tanya. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. The scripture for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you and my brothers. Peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. I just remind you again to go ahead and mute your phone as we go to the throne of grace. Have an awesome, blessed day, everyone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful, thankful Thursday. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for this day, God. Although it's wet here in the Bay Area, we thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that even some of us may have woke up this morning with pain in our body. We're just grateful that we can feel, period, God. So we give you thanks and praise just for giving us another chance at this thing called life. Oh, we thank you. Just help us this morning as that scripture was read. Unity. Oh, God, yes. Unite us back together. God, reconcile some relationships that have been severed. God, we thank you this morning. God, I just attitude of gratitude just for you being God. Thank you. I just want to call out Brother Jonathan to you for healing, God. You know exactly what he's in need of. And good to hear Brother Daniel and Sister Kathy on the call this morning. We welcome you to this Declare Victory where we are victors and we declare victory over our lives. I thank you for my Sister Rochelle Sound. And as Tanya will come forth to pour out the word, that we can have ears and hearts to receive what she gives us. We thank you for you being the King of Glory. You are the Lord, strong and mighty God. We have so much to thank you for, so much to praise you for. Without you, God, I don't know where we would be, God. I thank you that you woke us up this morning and we can hear, we can see, we can walk, we can talk, God. We're not on a ventilator. And even if we were, God, just like you did for Ezra, thank you for that young man's life. Thank you. And I pray that you give his parents and his grandmother just your peace, God. I give you just all the thanks and praise, God, because you are a good, good father. I thank you for right now, this right now moment. Someone on the call may have some doubts, maybe having some fears or going through some life situations because life is happening. But God, we have to remember what you say. You say to give it all to you, to cast every care to you because you care about all that concerns us. And we have some concerns, God. We can pray, 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 but if we don't believe it, oh my God, we have to believe what your word says because you are a promise keeper. You are a way maker. You are light in the darkness. If we truly believe what we say, if we're not just talking, but we're walking it out. God, I thank you that we can turn worry into worship and we can turn pity into praise. God, let us know how to go from fear to faith, God. And we're just not talking words. I call out Dion to you and Deontay, Josiah. I call out Tia and Miss Jackie, God. I call out Noah to you. Noah has been on my heart, God, and our own beautiful sister Yvonne, who always makes a joyful noise. She's so excited, so I lift her up to you. And our own niece, Monica Evans, who's doing so much out there singing. God, I thank you for these young people. Cover all of our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, our parents, just everybody we're connected to, God. We don't get up this early for nothing. God, our hearts are postured to you, God, because we love you and we know that you love us this morning. So I thank you, Father God. I thank you this Thursday morning that we can just give you thanks and praise for everything. Those situations that we're not sure of, we can be sure that you were not taken by surprise about some layoffs and some people having to move. You're not even surprised about some relationships that are being dismantled, God. We got to give it all to you. You are a good, good Father. You are a magnificent God, and you are so worthy of praise. God, I thank you this morning. So before we take our phones off mute, before we just go in and just pray, have your prayers be strategic. Really thank him. Ask for forgiveness for anything you have said, thought, or done that is not pleasing to him. Lord, I repent right now because I know I've said some things, I've thought some things, I've done some things that are not pleasing to you. So, God, I give you the glory, and I thank you just for your grace and your mercy that's new every day. It's new every day. God, I thank you. So, Victor, join me and just give God praise. Just thank him. We don't have to beg him. We can just say, Lord, thank you for this day.
Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, hallujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Depression and just giving us a garment of praise. So, Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. As I turn the call over to Tanya in Jesus' name. Thank you. Tanya, the call is in your hands.
Good morning. Good morning. Just doing a sound check to make sure you can hear me okay, Didi.
I can hear you, and it is Thursday. I love you.
Thank you, Didi. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I praise God for being here this morning. I'm thankful that you are here with me, and I know that you've been asked already. I'm going to ask again, though, if you would just make sure that you are muted so that we can protect the integrity of the call, so that anyone on the call does not miss an important piece that will make a difference in their life. Our subject, especially if you're going to be moving around. So our theme for this, and thank you for our host and greeter who always does an amazing job. We appreciate you so much. I want to talk really today about, so our theme is the power of agreement, or just agreement. But I want to just talk about agreement from a foundational place today, and talk about examples of agreement, because we have an entire month to talk about, for me to tell stories and other people to tell stories and dig a little deeper. But I just wanted to give really the background of agreement today. So the Oxford Dictionary defines agreement as harmony or accordance in opinion or feeling, a negotiated and typically legally binding arrangement between parties as to a course of action. And I know you know this, but sometimes it's good just to get the etymology of a word. So when we think about agreement from a biblical perspective, it says being of one mind with others, whether for good or evil purposes. Agreement among believers is commended to enhance unity and peace and to build up the people of God. That is the purpose of agreement. When I think about throughout my time of studying and preparing for my share today, Declare Victory just kept popping up. And I think about how that we come together every single morning. We're not forced to be here. We don't have to be here. It's a choice. It's a decision, an active decision that we make every single morning that we are on the call to get up and to dial in. And that's really all we have to do. We don't even have to speak. We don't have to say good morning. We can just dial the number and listen. We can be fed. We can be blessed. We come together in agreement in prayer every single morning. And so that's a blessing for us. Anyway, examples of agreement made by deliberate choice. I'm giving a lot of scriptures today because as I'm going over and giving examples, it's important to back them up. And I'm not saying you have to write down every scripture, but I'm going to produce evidence of the statements that I'm making, which is why there will be so many scriptures today. All right, so examples of agreements made by deliberate choice. This is an example of an agreement to do good. Job 2 and 11. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. You know, when I read this scripture, the first thing I thought about was the graces. When one of us is going through something, we are going to show up. Now, here's the thing about it. I'm being a little comical, but, you know, back in the day, right now, we can text each other to say, hey, let's meet there, blah, 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 however we're going to do it, or we can have a phone call, we can whatever. But I'm like, how did these guys get together? Because they were living in different, I don't have any proof, but I assume that they were living in different areas, but they got word to each other, hey, let's go check on our partner. Let's go check on our friend, our brother, Job, because they heard about all of the tragedies that had occurred in his life. I don't want to assume that everybody knows who I'm talking about when I say Job. If you don't, it's an amazing story about a man who lost everything. He lost everything except for his life, and he was a very, very wealthy man. Lost all of his children. I believe there were 10 of them, and one day they were all at one party, at one of their siblings' party, lost them all. I'm not going to go into details about that, but if you've not read the story of Job, it will encourage your heart. I suggest you do so. But at any rate, they got together. They got a little off once they got there, but they had the right intention, which was to actually go and encourage Job. And this would be an example of an agreement to do good, an agreement to do wrong. Believe it or not, there are examples in the Bible. Daniel 6 and 7. The royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, and the governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, this is a group of, you know how the Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places? This would be an example of that. These are men in authority who got together and plotted. What they were doing, they were plotting against Daniel. Daniel was a major prophet in the Bible. And they knew that Daniel prayed three times a day. He would go home. He would open his window. And he would pray, and they did not like it. So they tricked the king into creating an edict, which is a law. But they got together. Listen, they got together. They plotted, and they got, because they were hating on Daniel. They were jealous of him, because you got to remember, Daniel was not a native of Babylon. David was captured from Jerusalem. He was brought to Babylon. And God elevated him, even though he was a slave, he was elevated. But it was because of the favor of God that was on his life. And so in this particular scripture, Daniel 6 and 7, we see these men who are officials in the king's court. They are part of the king's cabinet. They manipulate the king into creating this edict. And the king was full of himself, so he had no problem with it. But Daniel, it did not stop him. Daniel made a decision he was going to continue to pray. And some of us know the story about Daniel in the lion's den. That was how he ended up in the lion's den. It's an excellent story to read as well. But it's not just a story. These are things that happened in real life. The agreement to do wrong, here's the thing, you guys. The agreement to do wrong is a no-brainer almost, because we have natural tendencies to do wrong based upon our Adamic nature. Remember, the agreement to do wrong started with Adam in Genesis. God instructed Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. His wife was finessed the way that the devil, you know, in other words, the devil ran game on her and manipulated her into believing that she really could eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she did it. I'm not going to go into great details. I'm just giving you a high-level overview. But when she did it, nothing happened. When she ate the fruit, she got one of the pieces of fruit. We don't know that it was an apple. It was some type of fruit. She got it. She ate it. Listen to me. Nothing happened. I'm going to say it again. Nothing happened when she ate the fruit. She offered the fruit to Adam. He ate, and all hell broke loose. Why is that? God didn't give her the instructions. He gave the instructions to Adam. We have been paying the price for his disobedience ever since. If he would have just said, nah, give me that, and threw it away, or if he would have told her to throw it away, we never would have had the challenges that we have today. All right. There are treaties. What is a treaty? A treaty is a formally concluded and ratified agreement, all that means is that it's signed by a formal consent. But that occurs between two countries, but it's still an agreement. Genesis 21 and 27 says, so Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. There are many other scriptures that confirm treaties, but I won't go into them. There are ways of making agreements. We can do so by accepting the terms that are offered. For example, in 1 Samuel 20, 16 through 17, it says, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. And so though John knew he was the heir to the throne, Jonathan was the son of Saul. And if you'll recall, Saul was jealous of David. He knew that David had been anointed as king. He knew the power of God rested on David. He was jealous of that. And so Jonathan being Saul's firstborn son, naturally the heir to the throne was going to be passed to him. But Jonathan didn't care about any of that. He knew also, it was evident that there was something special about Jonathan, and something special about David. And so he made an agreement. He created an oath with David. And when the scripture talks about the house of David, it's just simply talking about David and all his entire family. But at any rate, he makes this agreement with David, and they make a lifelong pact with one another. That type of agreement was unheard of. You don't just give your inheritance away, but Jonathan was willing to do so. When something is destined for you, you cannot stop it. And so God will do what is necessary to ensure that you get what is needed to fulfill your purpose. Another way of making agreements is through bartering, or trading, we also call it. Bartering is the oldest form of commerce. Bartering is the exchange of goods and services between two or more parties without money or credit. Individuals and companies barter goods and services between each other based on equivalent estimates of prices and goods. The IRS considers bartering a form of income that incurs taxes. Uncle Sam is always going to try to get his piece of the pie. And so here we see that bartering was a bartering system even dating back to the Old and the New Testament. So it's not anything that is new. And bartering was done very, very often because they were a cashless society. Coins were introduced at a later date, but most often people bartered. Agreement through mutually accepted terms. Acts 15:28-31. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. The people read it and were glad for it, because it was an encouraging message. So the context here is that the disciples, or the apostles, were given instructions to the Gentiles who are now converting, right? And so they were telling them, rather than giving them all of the laws that they, the Jews, were bound by, they gave them just a few. And those few laws that they gave the Gentiles, they were encouraged by it. They believed that they could do it. They could follow these instructions so that they too could become followers of Jesus, even though Jesus had ascended to heaven at this point. So the agreement is inferred here based on verse 31, where it talks about the people were encouraged by the message delivered by Judas and Silas, who were representatives going to give the gospel and share with the Gentiles at that time. And that was a big deal, because you got to remember, the Jews did not associate with Gentiles. It was against their custom. It was against their laws to do so. But now they have found out that it's okay for them to do so, because they were given instructions to go and spread the gospel throughout the world, not just to the Jews wherever they were located. They were given instructions to also now share the gospel with the Gentiles, and in so doing, the Gentiles were given these instructions that I just read to you. There's also an agreement reached by persuasion. And this is going to be coming from Daniel, I just made a whole nother word up, Daniel 1, 12 through 14. It says, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And so this is, remember I told you a little bit earlier that Daniel was a slave. He was brought over from Jerusalem to Babylon. But David was being groomed. David, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were being groomed in the king's court. Part of the grooming process was to, they were supposed to be eating from the king's table, the king's meat, the king's, whatever it is that the king ate, they were supposed to eat. Because now what's happening is that they're trying to fatten them up and get them healthy or whatever. And so Daniel used wisdom to persuade the overseer to get what he wanted. In other words, Daniel knew. Daniel used manipulation too. He just used it for something that was good. You know, when you think about it, manipulation can be done in terms of good things, but it can also be. Usually, we look at manipulation in a negative light. But we all use manipulation at some point. It's just how we use it and the motive behind using it. So Daniel used wisdom. I'm also saying it was manipulation to persuade the overseer to just give them fruit and vegetables, because to eat of the king's table would or the things that were being served meant that they would defile themselves. And Daniel did not want to do that. He wanted to still honor God and honor the traditions and the laws that they were taught as youngsters. And so we see in the story later on, I'm not going to go down into, I'm just using this as an example. What happened is that the overseer agreed, and it turns out that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked healthier than all of the other young men. And I'm moving to a close here. Agreement and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Agreement and praise can be organic or it can be intentional. It may seem obvious, but a common place of agreement and praise is at church. But not all churches have spontaneous worship, and not all churches worship corporately. For example, growing up in my old church, someone may testify about something miraculous that happened to them or a blessing that they received. And praise would break out throughout the congregation because we would just be excited about what had happened to that person. No one was encouraged to do so. It just happened organically. Whereas when we are in church or a collective meeting like Declare Victory, and the program mover or the worship leader or the speaker encourages everyone to take your phone off mute and begin to praise God, that's what we call corporate praise. Some will, some won't, but for those who do and praise with their whole heart, something happens. It's almost like being ignited and infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can hear King David saying, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. That's like a call to everyone to begin to praise and worship God. There are also agreements made before God. For example, an agreement in prayer. Romans 5, 15, 30 through 31 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. This is Apostle Paul encouraging or making this request for the believers to join him, which is the inference of agreeing with him for safety. He was getting ready to take his journey to Jerusalem, some of you may or may not know, but Paul was an evangelist. He went from country to country to country to country. I mean, he traveled all over the place, and he did so spreading the good news. In this particular instance, he knew that he was going to Jerusalem, and he was asking the saints to intercede on his behalf. So when we pray for someone else, that is called intercession. And so he was asking the saints to pray for him, to pray for his safe journey, and to pray that those unbelievers in Judea, that they would accept the contribution and the gospel that he was going to be sharing with them. I want you to understand that sometimes there are times that even believers have struggles and need for others to intercede for them. The reason doesn't matter. What matters is that we hold each other up and that we stand in the gap for one another. So I want to encourage you to join together in agreement in praying for those that are responsible for putting the schedules together for Declare Victory, those that are responsible for delivering the declarations each day, those that are responsible for leading us in prayer and corporate worship, those that are responsible for hosting and greeting, those that are responsible in your church, in your local church that you attend. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those that are out front all of the time. Pray for those that are the administrators. There's a lot that takes place behind the scenes, and we need your prayers in those particular areas. So moving on, Declare Victory allows and encourages prayer requests. You all know this, but here's a question to you. Do you participate in the prayer requests that you make for yourself? Or do you expect everyone else to pray and believe God for you? Selah. Yeah. Please don't answer me out loud. It's just food for thought. Making a prayer request doesn't exempt us from our responsibility of participating in and obtaining an answer or a breakthrough. We're asking for a prayer request. It doesn't mean that we should assume that everybody is going to do the prayer for us. No. The prayer request is for them to join us in believing God for a miracle or a breakthrough. Secondly, don't answer me out loud, but have you ever known someone to state those famous words, God, if you get me out of this, you fill in the blank. Here's an example. If you do this, I will do that. It's common for God to come through because he loves us, not because he has to, or because we have some advantage or some bargaining chip. He is always ready, willing, and able to help us. God comes through and delivers us, and then we get amnesia. Not us, but people that we know. Resulting in a breach of agreement. I am sure this grieved the Holy Spirit, yet still he loves us. At some point, the requester must return to God, who is so merciful, it almost seems he's naive, though he's not. God loves us so much that he will make our mess-ups as opportunities to extend his love, his grace, and his mercy. Agreements with God's terms. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah, and to those who live in Jerusalem, tell them that this is what the God of Israel says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. I answered, amen. So here we're talking about an agreement with God. This is a promise that was given to the children of Israel, the Jews, but it was conditional. The condition of this agreement was that you obey, I will bless you. I will be your God. You will be my people. In other words, you'll have my protection. You'll have my provision. You'll have my blessings. But here is the condition, and the condition is that you obey me. And you will see throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament. In fact, the reason that Daniel and his comrades were in captivity is because the sins of his forefathers. There was this covenant that was established. The people of God, the Jews, they agreed to the covenant, to the agreement, but they turned around and became a whoring nation because they broke the agreement time after time after time and began to worship idols, false gods, false teachings. And they did this over and over and over, yet God still loved them. He would send messengers, the prophets, to say to them, if you don't come out of your evil ways, if you don't stop, I'm going to devastate this nation. You're going to be separated from me from a time period. And he did it over and over and over until finally they were taken into captivity. God still loved them. He never threw them away. But this is just an example of an agreement with God's terms. God set the terms. And the people were expected to obey the terms, but they failed over and over and over. I want to segue into the last form of agreement that I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about the agreement that sometimes we make without really thinking through the consequences. Very often we do it with each other. Sometimes we do it with God. Let's identify the two groups. There is the people who will ask you for something. For example, can you take me to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning? You, yes. Them, can you help me move? You, yes. These are agreements I'm talking about. They're little frivolous agreements, but sometimes we make these agreements and we don't think things through. For example, the airport. 3 o'clock in the morning? I thought you meant 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you already made the commitment. You already made the agreement. Now, depending on your character, you may make an excuse and say, no, I ain't going to be able to do it and leave the person hanging. Or you fussing at yourself the whole way that you are on your way to their house to pick them up because you agreed to get them to the airport at 3 o'clock. Or the person that agrees immediately to, can you help me move? Yes. Oh, man, I'm going to be there all day. Oh, my God. Now, you could get out of it by saying you got to go wash your, you got to give your dog a bath or you got to wash your hair. Yes, you can get out of it. And now the person that you, I'm sorry, the phone fell. Now the person you committed to is kind of left hanging. We got to be careful about these agreements that we make. But here's the ones that get me. I'm sure you can think of all kind of casual agreements that people make. Regardless of whether an agreement is casual or not, we should take precautions before agreement. Now, here's the ones that get me. You ever had somebody say to you, oh, yeah, so-and-so happened, or yeah, I'm going to do it. I swear to God I'm going to do it. I swear with all kind of imagination. I put that on my mama. I put that on my kids. I swear to God, blah, 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 blah. We are encouraged to consider the costs or consequences before committing to agreement. I'm going to say this again. You know, you might want to think about it, and I don't take this in a selfish from a selfish standpoint. But I mean, God, what's in it for me? What benefit do I gain? And you may not gain anything from it, but you may just decide that it's something that you want to do, and that's fine. We don't always have to make agreements where we're going to benefit. Sometimes it's just good to be in a position to help somebody, but before you agree to take them to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning or before you agree to lend them that money, you need to weigh your options. Can you trust the other person? Are they going to come through on their end of the bargain? What is the likelihood of achieving success of what it is that they're asking you to do? The Bible says, but I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. That's found in Matthew 5:34 through 37. Sometimes we make agreements with God without weighing the options. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but we must think before we speak, especially if this is a voluntary agreement that you are making with God. Here's an example. God, I'm going to go on a fast today, and I'm going to fast till 5 o'clock. You get to work, and it's someone's birthday, and they bring out, they send an email throughout the office, please join us in the break room or in the conference room for a special meeting. And your stomach starts to growl because you can smell as you're on your way to the conference room. You can smell all these delectable kinds of things. I mean, it smells good. Is that ribs I smell? Oh my God! Wait a minute. Is that so and so? Is that a? And when you get to the conference room, you see this spread on the table, and your stomach is doing all kind of flip flops. It's only 11:30. And you begin to justify in your mind why you can go ahead and break this fast because, you know, really, whatever the reason is, now you've already made a vow that you're going to fast, and the food that you are smelling is so tempting that you break your vow, you break fast. And so the scripture is telling us we should not do that. Once we make a vow, once we make a promise, an agreement, that we're going to, for example, just using fasting is in this particular case, it's not a good thing for us to do. It's not a good look. We've broken an agreement with God. We've broken our promise with him. We've broken our word. And sometimes there may be consequences for that. Here's another example, and this one is literally in scripture. It's found in Judges 11:34 through 35. Actually, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it because there's a little bit more depth to it than if I were to read it. This is the story about Jephthah, who had made a vow to the Lord, and Jephthah was a leader of of the Jews. He was a leader of the Jews, and so the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God, in other words, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he knew that it was ready for them. It was time for them to go out in the battle, and he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord. He said, "Lord, if you bless me to win this battle, the first thing that comes out of my door, I'm going to sacrifice to you, give it back to you." And so God blessed them. They won the battle. They beat their enemy so bad that it was worth noting in this particular set of scriptures. And again, this found in Judges 11:34 through 35. And so, just read Judges 11 if you really want to know. And so, Jephthah and his men, they came back. They were triumphant. They were celebrating and all excited. And when Jephthah got home, the first person that came out of his door was his daughter, his only child. She came out the door celebrating, dancing, and playing her tambourine. And when Jephthah saw her, he tore his clothes. He tore his, they say he rent his garment. And usually what happened is they would take the opening, was like a V-neck. They would take it and rip it open, or they might rip a sleeve off their garment. And she knew that something was wrong. And he was grieved because he knew that he had to sacrifice her, not physically. He wasn't going to put her on the altar and burn her up, but she was going to be made a virgin for the rest of her life. He was going to give her back to God, and so she was going to leave the family and go and live someplace and become a servant of the Lord. And that was a big deal back then because young women were expected, as they got older, they were expected to, when they became of marrying age, they were expected to be married off. It was going to be a prearranged marriage. And I know some of you might be rolling your eyes and turning your heads up at that, but the fathers, I was reading something somewhere and it talked about how the fathers took great care in selecting husbands for their wives because they wanted them to be treated well, and whoever it was going to pay a dowry so that they could get the young lady as their bride. But again, the fathers wanted the best for their daughters, at least most of them. You always have the exception to the rule where you have a greedy father who's going to get a sizable dowry. He doesn't really care about the character of the man. He's just thinking about the dowry that he's going to get, and his daughter knowing. And these young women were married off at young ages, like they were teenagers, because they wanted them to be childbearing ages, wanted to get them pregnant real quick so they could have as many babies as possible. And, you know, the younger, I guess, they were, the stronger, I guess, they thought they were or what have you. And so that was the culture then. It's not our culture now. So that is the theory. That is some background about agreements. Again, I know I gave you a lot of scriptures because I wanted to prove my point. And I pray that something that I said encouraged you today, especially about keeping vows and understanding about agreements that are made in high places. There are people that come together. I want you to know, even on our jobs today, where we are working, there are people, be careful, be mindful that there are people that will come together in agreement even to plot against you. Don't be naive. We still have an advantage, though. We can pray and we can ask God to bless us and to lead us and to guide us and to give us strategies. We can agree with God in prayer, hallelujah, that he will give us what to do and how to do, and that he will open our eyes to situations that come up. So don't be naive in thinking that everybody likes us, everybody is celebrating us. There may be, this just was dropped in my spirit, you may be working on a project at work. It may seem like things are going really, really well, but then they start to go left. Be careful about what information that you give. Be careful about who you're talking to about projects, especially projects where you're being allowed to use creativity to be able to put together a project for a particular idea or a problem that your superiors are looking to resolve, and they are putting it out to the team. Be careful with the information that you share with people. I'm not saying that you have to be selfish. I'm saying you have to be careful. You guard your different components of the presentation that you want to give. Be careful who you give it to make copies or do other things that you need to do. I'm just warning. It's just a warning that I just received. Be careful who you agree with at work, because everybody is not out for your good. There are some people literally that are plotting against you. I'm just admonishing you this morning to be careful. That's it. That's my declaration. My name is Tanya, not Tanya. I agree with this declaration. We're going to transition now into love, life, and victory portion of the call. But before we do so, we're going to open the call up to anybody that may have missed the greeting this morning, and you want to be able to, you want to allow us to be able to greet you. We're going to open the call up to our men first. If you'd like to say good morning, we're not discussing the declaration yet. We will, but we're going to allow people to be greeted this morning. So any men who want to say good morning, any visitors that are here, it's your first time calling in, or anybody that has been on the call for a while and you just like to say good morning, the call is now open. We're going in that order. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Anybody want to say good morning? All right, it's a free-for-all. Does anybody want to say good morning?
Good morning. Morning, Denise.
Good morning. I heard a couple of people.
Morning, Tana, Shell.
Hey, Shell.
Good morning, Tan. It's Pretty. Great declaration.
Hey, Pretty.
Morning, Tan. It's Jubilant.
Hey, Juby. I said Juby. I meant to say Juju. I meant to say Jubilant, and I just gave you a new name, Juby. But you don't have to use it.
Good morning, Tan. It's Gloria.
Hey, Gloria.
Good morning, Tan. It's Joyful.
Hey, good morning, Joyful. The power of agreement. Good morning, good morning, Nagorn. Good morning.
Good morning, Tanya. Christina Joy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tanya. It's Patience. Great decoration.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
All right, if you're not saying good morning, please mute your phone. If there isn't anybody else that wants to say good morning, going once, going twice, going three times in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to open it up for Love, Life, and Victory. If you have a question, a comment, need clarity, you had an aha moment, you are welcome to do so at this point.
Amen. Top Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah. This is Sister Yvonne.
Hold on 1 second. I heard two people. I heard Sister Yvonne, and then I think I heard one other person.
Yes, Sister Sabrina. I was just saying good morning.
Okay, good morning. I hope you feel better, Sabrina. All right, go ahead, Yvonne.
Thanks. This was a really good topic for me, because when you were speaking about a job situation or your job, my daughter have been dealing with that. She came to me last week and she was telling me that, you know, the people that she work with, you know, they don't socialize with her, and, you know, da-da-da-da-this, da-da-da-da-that, right? So I was telling her, I said, well, you know, I said, I prayed for her first. I said, you know, I said, you're not going to get along with everybody. And for number one, you there to do your job, you know, because people is going to look at you any kind of way. And I said, they probably feel they intimidated, you know, towards you for some reason, you know. And I'm asking you, what scripture can I pray with her and over her? Do you have a scripture for that?
Pray for her in reference to, like, that's a real, like,
okay, what is my daughter, she's very, like, sensitive, you know. Okay. She's one of the sensitive ones, and she view people. She's not in church or nothing, and you know, every little thing that happens, it bothers her spirit, you know. And I pray with my daughter. I told her, you know, get some scriptures and to read, get some books about women's and, you know, this and that, attitudes or whatever it may be, spiritual books, you uh-huh. know. And it's like to see her, like, have to go through that, you know, with people.
Sure.
It burdened me, you know.
Sure.
But,
so
it hurts, so, you know, to see your child hurt, you know, over other people's actions.
Yeah. So I think that the first thing that I would do is that I would, because here's the thing. There's so many scriptures that come to mind. I think the first thing that I would do is that I would offer my daughter Jesus Christ, so that he can be her protector, her leader, and her guide. Because it's almost like I understand you as a mom, you don't want to see your daughter hurt. You don't want to see anybody taking advantage of her. Absolutely, that's the right thing to do. And it's the right thing for you to do, to pray for her. But you can use these opportunities, not with trying to force her to give her life to Christ, But these are great opportunities when stuff like this comes up. It's a great opportunity for you to lead her to Christ and encourage her to give her life to Christ so that he can be her foundation, so that he can be the one that leads her and guides her. Because without him, it's not going to happen. You understand? Without her having relationship, God has no obligation to us when we don't have a relationship with him. Does that make sense to you, Sister Yvonne?
Yes, because I have did that with her. I said, you know, I said it's time, you know, to seek God, look towards the hills for which your strength and your help come from. You know, I have took them steps with her, but I don't want to, like, pressure her. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Let me just say this. With our kids, it can be very, very sensitive. And so what you want to do is you want to ask the Holy Spirit when to mention something to her about it. If she comes to you, that's the perfect opportunity. When she comes to you, like saying, Mom, I don't know what to do. I tried, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's an opportunity without forcing it, right? That's an opportunity for you to be able to say, this is a great time. Have you considered allowing the Lord to be head of your life? Have you considered allowing Jesus, accepting Christ as your personal Savior so he can do address the issue, right? That would be the time to do that. Not just any old time that, you know, you're talking to her or whatever, but in those times when she's coming, because she has a need. And the only one that can meet that need is the Lord Jesus Christ. So but as we're talking, as we're talking today, I'm actually going to be looking up another couple of scriptures that I may be able to give to you, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. I needed
You're
that
welcome.
Last part. Thank you, sis.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question, a comment?
Hey. Hey, Shiel. that's funny. I was thinking about when you were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they didn't agree on those names.
Daniel
didn't agree on his name change either.
You're right.
Their regular name, but the Bible still kept his name as Daniel. It just explained that the king changed it to Belshazzar. And Shadrach's regular, his regular name was Hananiah. And Meshach was Mishael. And Abednego, not Nigo, always call him Nigga, was Azariah. So
I cannot with you, Phil. Go ahead.
But what brought that out, the reason why I said that is because here the Holy Spirit gave us names that we agreed upon because he saw something that was in us and we walk in those names. So that part right there, that's why I was like, oh yeah, no, we agreed on our names here because the Holy Spirit gave us our names. And yesterday I laughed because I said, Shell, it's because I answered the phone and said my name was Shell, and it was a guy that was next to me, and when he left out the office where I was, he said, bye, Shell. And I looked around like, I don't even know you. Why would you call me Shell, though? My family and friends call me Shell. My name is Rachel. So I was a little offended, but I got over it because my name's still Shell. And then you talked about the potlucks. It took me a long time to realize fast means fast, especially at work. Because at work, they come with the gourmet donuts. They come with the potlucks. They come with everything. And they'd be spread. And you'd be like, oh, okay, so the Lord set this potluck up today, so he really didn't want me to fast today. Oh, no, he did. He did, because you said you were going to fast today. So what I started doing was I said, okay, let me prepare me a plate as my reward. So once my fast time is over, I can spread. They used to have all the good stuff, and they knew I liked root beer. So, of course, there was a 2-liter root beer sitting on the table every single time. But I just went on, took my root beer, put it in the refrigerator, prepared my plate, put it in the refrigerator, and when fast was over, I spread at the table with my cold 2-liter root beer. I kept my vow. So just encouraging you, keep your vow. Just because that feast is there, you made a vow, don't break that vow. It's better to keep your vow than break it with the Lord.
Listen, I remember many a fast. It seemed like they didn't bring out the good stuff until I was fasting.
But, you know, it's just that's just a temptation. And I'm not saying this. I hope nobody feels guilty. That's not the point. I don't want you to feel condemned. That condemnation is not coming from God. And if it doesn't come from God, who does it come from? Yeah, him. It's just making you aware. It's making you aware that when you make a vow, when you okay, one second, when you make a promise, it is important for us to keep it. That's just a temptation. The food is a temptation. There will be other potlucks, I promise. I do like Shell did. Go get you a plate, make it, put it in the refrigerator. All right. Somebody was getting ready to say somebody fishing.
It's Didi. I just wanted to say while we're on this, and I don't have a one kid in here I could speak. You said so much, but that keeping your word, that agreement. And so here lately, I've gotten to see where we're not so good. Like, it's voluntary. So if you volunteer to do something, keep your word, because it's a breach. Like, and I'll use a good example. You know, we have repasses, we have weddings, we have places where you sign up to serve whatever area, and you know good and well you. It's different if you just want to be seen, because some people sign up for, I've seen it, people put their name on everything and they're no-shows. That's not keeping your word, and that's not being a good steward, because it's like a breach. And so it's the same thing you said with the prayer request. Like, we can pray, we can ask for prayer requests day after day, but we have to make sure that we are agreeing with what God's word says about that thing. Whatever it is that you're going through, there's an agreement and there's some obedience in keeping your word. So it's so good to keep your word. That's like when you break your promise, because kids don't forget. My granddaughter River, if you tell her you're going to do something, you better do it, because she'll wake you up out your sleep making sure. So it's just a good reminder to keep our word. Stop saying you're going to do something, because your word is your bond. And things do happen where you have to change. But for the most part, and I'm saying it because it happened, if you sign up, especially, and I'm going to use a repass because that's when the emotions are high, don't leave people short if you say it, because you don't forget that. It makes you look bad. And also, be slow to speak, because you can't take back your word. So in any situation, before you say something to somebody, make sure you taste the words, because in this season, there are so many people who are damaging relationships and stuff with words that they don't need to say. So just seek God for everything and make sure that what you're saying lines up with what the word said. That's all. Going back, I'm like, love you, Tan.
Love you too, Didi. Thank you. I was reminded of I don't even need to go there. You said a lot. You did a very good job with explaining that. And keeping our word. And sometimes stuff happens. If something happens, you know, don't just not show up, or don't just not do what you said you were going to do. It's important. There's a scripture. I don't know where it is. Shell, you might know. Make straight paths for your feet. Ooh, people at my old church used to use that all the time. Ooh, I'm just making straight paths for my feet. In other words, give accountability. If you can't make it to a particular thing that you have volunteered for, if you can't follow through, maybe somebody asked you if you could help them with something, whatever the case may be, if you're not able to do it legitimately, let them know so that they can make adjustments. Anybody else have anything they want to say? We were talking about the job, but we don't have to talk about the job. We can talk about anything. Agreements, keeping agreements, making agreements. Good agreements. Hey, Joyful.
Hey, so powerful declaration, several things that you shared. One of them, that I really love that story of Daniel, and all of the, want to just highlight one number in the agreement that you spoke of. That conspiracy that took place against him, after these people, the king saw fit to name leaders for all of these provinces, and there were 120. And then he promoted three people to be governors, of which Daniel was one. When you take 120 and add two governors to it, that's 122 people that came into agreement to go to the king as a conspiracy against Daniel. So we're not just talking about, you know, one little coworker, and that's powerful, but there were 122 people that came into agreement and got the king's signet ring or his permission, you know, to do this. So when you talked about being careful and people that will come against you, it takes that was quite a bit. I mean, some people that was shown up dirty and evil is ever present. So just being mindful and knowing the power of agreement, not just for the good, but for evil or for bad. So there was a cost, and it cost them not just their lives, but their wives and their children.
Yes.
There's a consequence. But that always marvels me at how many of them there were that had to agree in order for it to happen, because how can two walk together unless they be agreed? But this was 122. So thank you for your declaration.
You know, thank you for expounding. So just so that I can, because some of you may not know what she meant by their wives and the consequences behind their actions. So you have 122 people in this conspiracy. It was miraculous in and of itself that nobody turned on each other and that nobody spilled the beans. They were all a collective unit. Like they maintained, but then it makes me wonder about their character. They had to be shady individuals, and shady individuals, sometimes it's hard for them to agree, but they had this one common enemy, which was Daniel, which was why they were able to pull this off. And so what happened is that Daniel found favor in the eyes of the king. So as a result of Daniel's disobedience, they brought Daniel, the 122 brought Daniel before the king, saying he refused to do this, that, and the other. Well, the king, even though he wanted to, he could not change the edict because it was an agreement, it was law. He couldn't change it. Can you imagine how the king felt when he discovered that this one person that had broken this law, this 30-day law, was Daniel? He was mortified, but I believe he was also pissed off because now he's realizing, oh, my God, y'all played me. Wow, for real? Oh, y'all going to learn today, though. So anyway, Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, but God shuts the mouth of the lions. He shut them. Daniel was so chill, he went to sleep on the lion, one of the lions. The next morning, the king gets up and he says, Daniel, are you still alive? Has your God delivered you? And Daniel said, oh, great king, my God has delivered me. He testified. Well, what happened was, you see, the king was up all night long. He had an opportunity to come up with something great and grand. And what he did was he got all of those 122 men and their families. That means their children, their wives, sons, their daughters. If they had grandkids, all y'all come on today. We taking care of the lions. And the Bible says that all of them, 122 plus, were thrown in the lion's den. And before the people were even in there good, the lions started eating them as they were throwing them down the lion's den because they had been famished. But whatever the case may be, there were consequences for what happened, for their conspiracy and going against the man of God. Well, so what does that have to do with me today, Tanya? Let me tell you something. When you live for God, listen, are you listening to me? I need you to stop what you're doing if you can, and I want you to listen. And whoever that is, please put your phone on mute until it's time for you to speak. When you are living for God and you are doing a work for God and you are being obedient to Him and people conspire against you, there are consequences to those individuals or to that person. The Bible says that it is better that a millstone, like a big rock, be tied around your neck and you cast into the sea than for you to offend one of my little ones. The Bible also says that vengeance is mine. And so don't ever feel like I'm being a punk. They're just taking advantage of me. You know, I'm trying to look, ooh, they better be glad I'm saved, because back in the day I would have did this, done the other. You don't, sis, brother, you don't even have to go there. Do what you do as far as being honorable, as far as being an example, as far as being, I don't know why we on this today. Somebody must be going through it at work. Be encouraged. God sees. God knows. It's important, my sister, my brother, for you to be a light and an example, because we don't need to give the enemy the stick to beat us with. He can find his ammunition and his stuff on his own. But when you meet kindness, when you meet evil for good, in other words, when you heap coals of fire on their heads with kindness, they mistreating you, And I'm not saying being a dummy, but they're mistreating you, they're acting foul, you know it. You don't have to show them your hand. You don't have to, because the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. Thank you for helping me to remember, Lord. And if you want to speak, I'm going to tell you about something that happened to me at work several years ago. If you want to speak, just say, hey, Tan, and I'll stop. I remember an incident. So I worked for Goodwill Industries from 2004, I think, to 2010 or something like that. I was a case manager for the truck driving program that I helped them create. And eventually I became the director of that program. And the Holy Spirit, so we got this person, this new person who became, she was in charge of us, new, I forget what she her title was, but she was in charge of all the programs. My program was unique in that it was not housed in Goodwill at 1500 Mission, which is where the headquarters was. It was housed in the Bayview. We needed to be out because it was a truck driving program. There was no space where we were downtown. Anyway, long story short, when this woman came on board, she started making all these changes. She was corporate. She didn't understand nonprofit culture. And so she started making all these changes, and the Holy Spirit said, be careful. Be careful. Something was off. I knew it was off. They started having meetings. I'm a director. They started having directors' meetings. And somehow they forgot to tell me they was having a director's meeting. So the Holy Spirit just kept saying, don't take it personal, just be careful. I remember having a staff meeting telling them, I don't know what's going on, you guys, but something is happening. And I won't be mad if y'all decide that you want to look for a job, but I think it's time for y'all to start looking for a job. Something is happening. Because then they started asking me questions about the program. How did you get this? How did you get this done? How did you get this done? What partners have you collaborated? Blah, da, 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 da. All these things they would ask. Here's the cold part. The program was physically located on the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. It's federal property. Nobody can come on the property without having proper clearance. So me and my staff had continual clearance to get in, and all of the students did. Their passes lasted for 2 months or whatever. If it needed to be renewed, we did. But ours was permanent, right, because that's where we were stationed. Anybody from Goodwill that wanted to come out there had to get my permission. So you can't just pop up on us. So a couple of times my supervisor said, you know, I'm coming out there and they call at the gate. I'm trying to get in. Well, I didn't know you were coming. You can't get in without a pass. So you got to go back to the office because you can't get a pass today. I got to put one in for the office. Ooh, that made them mad. So they never could pop up on us to see what we were doing. So all of a sudden now, after we had been there maybe 3-4 years, they want to pop up and they just want to observe. What you want to observe? We just want to observe how the class was going. What they were doing was gathering information because they were getting ready to lay me off. I knew it, and I didn't act a certain way. I just started preparing myself. All I'm saying is that when we live for God and we invite him to be a part of our lives, he will let us know. Remember I talked about the Holy Spirit last week and how he is a revealer. He will reveal things to us. That's exactly what he will do. And very often we might feel like we got caught off guard. Not really sometimes, but he's talking. Are we listening? Okay, when we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, we're still on agreement. When we are, because he has no obligation to us or to our kids or our grandkids when they don't have a relationship with him. We could pray for them and we can intercede, but he has no obligation to help them because they don't have a relationship with him. Does that make sense? Anybody else have anything? Question, comment,
good morning,
whatever.
Grace. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you, darling? Listen, this is powerful. This is a great month for us and the power of agreement. And as you said, standing in your agreement with, if you make a commitment,
mm-hmm.
As Sister Dee Dee said, even here in this room, the fact is that you all plan a schedule and the agreement that everyone, I don't care what you're doing, because you're online, so you can still do what you need to do and still keep people of integrity. I really appreciate you all for trusting us to be a part of this team that is being built. Thank you so much for your, you know, because we're learning, and we don't, even if we don't say anything, it's not, we're just chewing up the meat of the word. I thank you for this on this morning. So again, if you agree with anything in this, even with the schedules of, you know, happening, and we know that there's times when, you know, we just can't do it. So you say, I can't. We have to learn how to say no when it's time to say no. So God bless you on this morning. I'm praying in the background as you are speaking. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your words of wisdom. And I have to say that you are one of the most organized, experienced, wise women that I know when it comes down to serving. I mean, you just make it operate like with no hiccups. It just seems like to us that are running around doing other things. So we appreciate you so much. We really, really do. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Anyone else have a comment, a question, anything related to the lesson?
Hey, Tanya.
I just wanted to.
I heard two people. Somebody is driving. Who was that?
It's Christina.
Christina and somebody else. Who was that?
Carla.
Carla. So can we let Christina go? I know she's probably on her way to work. Or on her way somewhere. Can we let her go in there, Carla,
yeah, sure,
please?
Sure, sure.
Thank you. Go ahead, Christina Joy.
Thank you. So I just wanted to piggyback on your share on your job and knowing what was coming. I had a very similar situation when I was working at AT&T when they decided to shut down the department I was in. And one of the coworkers called another coworker who's been on the car named Sandy when she was in a different call center, and told her basically, looks like they're going to shut us down. And she had a prayer box, and she asked the girl, give me the names of all of the reps that are in the office. And she put all of our names in her prayer box, asking God to intercede on our behalf. So don't you know, because we were covered as union employees, they walked out management and upper management, but for all the people she put on the list and asked God to spare, they transferred us to her department in another city. So I thought about that power of agreement, and like, you know, sometimes then you might plan something or you might have something coming against you, but then you go to God and say, can you agree with me on this because your word says that, and then things change. So that's all.
Thank you for that. And Carla, just before you comment, let me just say this. Y'all, that's an example of what happens when we come together in prayer. That's an example of somebody making you know, that scripture that talks about the kingdom, the violent suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. That's an example of violence. That's an example of not being passive. That's an example of someone taking a stand and interceding for the individuals that were in the call center, and they were blessed because of Christina Joy. Go ahead, Carla. Carla, are you there? Are you mute? If you're muted, we can't hear you.
Yes, I am. I can't talk now. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you kept working. Okay. Okay, anybody else want to have a comment or question or what have you? If not, I'm going to give you some time back.
I just want to say thank you, sis, because that last part you just spoke of about your job, you know, thank you so much. I just, that Holy, the Spirit just dropped something in me, you know, to help my daughter. So I thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. That's
good,
the only thing
good.
I can say. Thank you.
Amen. We are helpers of one another. That's why we're here. We have agreed to help everybody. Anybody else have anything?
All right. Well, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm going to give y'all some time back. Reading about Daniel is a great read today. Usually we're on the call until like 8. If you don't want to read it, you can listen to it by listening to your audio Bible. You can, if you have a smartphone, obviously you can get apps, but YouVersion is a great app that you can get, and you can have the Bible read to you. It's also a great way. I use it often to learn how to pronounce a particular name if I'm going to be teaching. So that's a tidbit for any of our declarers when we're reading some of these scriptures, the names, because it's a different culture, a different language. It's hard for us to pronounce them, and we want to always pronounce them with a Western pronunciation, but these are names that are Greek or Hebrew or whatever, and I'd like to pronounce it the best way I can, so I'll go and listen to the scripture so I can hear it, whether it's a name or a country or what have you. So if you don't have it, YouVersion is one of the Bible apps that you can download, and you can pick one of the versions, and it will actually, I know the King James Version will read back to you. I know the NIV will, you can make that audible, and you can use that time. You can also use that time to read about or listen about Jephna, and that was King Jephna, who ended up having to sacrifice his daughter, not physically, but sacrifice her in that he gave her back to God, and she lived out her life as a virgin serving others. That's found in the book of Judges, the 11th chapter. So use this time even to meditate on agreement and what that means for you, and just praying and asking God to help you to keep your vows, help you to keep the promises that you make, and so on and so forth. So I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you for your input today. And I just want to pray us out, if that's all right. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that went forth. For some reason, the people are coming up that are at your people, your servants, your son and your daughters that are at work. They're on jobs. I lift them up before you, God, and stand in the gap. I pray, first of all, that you would bless them to be your ambassadors. You've called us ambassadors for Christ. Help us all to remember that we are your ambassadors, your representatives, wherever we go in the marketplace. That means whether we're in the store, whether we're in a restaurant, whether we're in a bank or another type of establishment at work, we are your representatives as we are out in the marketplace. Help us to remember that. And so if we are tempted to flash on somebody, if we're tempted to say something that's curt or unkind, if we're tempted to do something that we shouldn't do, help us to remember that there are other people. They may not have ever said anything. They may not have ever even let on that they're paying attention, but they're watching us. They're watching us, our facial expressions. They're watching us when we get news that is unpleasant, when we are disappointed. They're watching us when they know that people are lying on us. They are watching us, Lord. Help us to be the examples, because we know it's not an attack against us as people. It's an attack against the spirit man. It's an attack against you. The enemy wants to get us to fail so he can make you look bad, so he can make you look like a failure. But we know that you will never fail. So we thank you that we make a decision to gird our loins. We make a decision to put on the whole armor of God every single time that we leave our door. We make a decision to be actively concerned, to be actively listening. Your word says to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Help us today. Help us today, God, to be discerners of between good and evil. Help us to discern today, throughout the day. Help us to weigh the options. Is this coming from you, God, or is this coming from the enemy? And then help us with a plan of action, with a strategy as to how we should move forward. Help us, God, to keep and maintain the vows that we make to you and the vows that we make to other people. Help us to weigh the consequences in the name of Jesus. Lord, all we want most of all is to be an example and a light, like the light that sits on the hill, not to bring shame to you, not to have you grieve over us, but to have you dance over us, to have you rejoice over us. to have you look at your son and say, look at her, I knew she was going to do it. Look at him, I knew, I told you he was going to do it. And be proud of us, knowing each and every assignment that you give us, we're going to pass with flying colors, because we know more is at stake than just us. The body of Christ is at stake. People are watching us. And not that we are keepers of men, but we are responsible and accountable for the body of Christ and our action. So these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Love y'all. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Love you all. Have a great day.
Love you.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you for the word.